Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Check podcasts. Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Catch the show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on Check. Your local sports coverage lives here.
Well, why am I watching it?
Because it's on TV.
With Don Taylor.
Cucumber is the worst vegetable out there.
No lasting power, no staying power.
And Rick Dollywall.
45 minutes in front of a mirror, I banged it.
Here's Donnie and Dolly.
10 o'clock in downtown Vancouver. We're in the Paul Carson studio. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's Donnie and Dolly, the team on Check. Don Taylor, along with Rick Dollywall. Ryan Henderson is our producer. He's the man at the controls. Our director, the voice of God, still off. He's ailing right now. Amy Scott taking his place for the time being, and we thank her so much. She did a great job yesterday. As always, how are you?
Playing hurt, but we're going to get through this.
You're playing hurt.
Well,
What's wrong?
You were doing the fisherman's a couple of weeks ago. Well, you were had taken those
I wasn't
fishermen.
Doing the fisherman.
You weren't doing the fisherman.
Yeah,
you
fisherman
were
friend.
Taking fishermen's. I'm taking hauls right now.
Yeah.
The lemon hauls are the best. There's nothing close. Cherries are number two, but lemon hauls are the best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ricola is also good, and of course we remember that commercial from the 90s.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So we're playing
guy
hurt.
Guy with the horn?
Yeah.
I think it was a fisherman at one time. Okay,
right,
so
let's
Canucks
go.
Hosting Chicago tonight. Game one of the Rick Tocchet era. Practice one was yesterday, and you were blown away.
Oh, just stop.
No, you said this
stop.
In our pre-show discussion. You love the practice. You were blown away by the practice yesterday.
Stop it. I tell you this, all the media, Kuzma, all these guys were tweeting, great practice, good teaching, a crisp, fast pace, the whole nine yards. Yeah, it was good. It was a good first practice, Donnie.
You know where I've heard that before? Every single time a coach takes over an NHL team. Oh, it was crisp. It was way better.
It was fast paced, a lot of jump, good compete and battle, good compete drills.
Mm-hmm. And you see a lot here of, and you're impressed by this because it rarely happens, coaches talking to players, like Sergei Gonchar talking to Quinn Hughes.
Stop it. Stop
Rick Tocchet talking to everybody. Adam Foote talking to players.
Donnie, he came in his press conference. He said two things are going to improve under me, the PK and the goals against. And the way you improve those two, you teach. Just because they're at the NHL level, it doesn't mean they can't get better, Don. How do you get better? Teaching.
Yeah, I think and practices. And I didn't realize Sergei Gonchar, who was a real gifted offensive defenseman back in the day for Pittsburgh and Washington. I didn't realize he was so revered as a teacher. You see Adam Foote here as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that at all? Or?
No, Gonchar.
What have you heard?
You got two NHL defensemen who were very good in their prime that are at practice and teaching these guys.
Interesting, though, that the two hires that he came aboard with Rick Tocchet, both defensemen, and we know where
that's
the Canucks,
their
number one area of need is where? On the blue line.
Blue line. It's defending. And it's the positional play in their own end. How many times have we seen Myers and OEL in the same corner, the right corner, and the opposition's got two
and
guys?
It's not just them. It's
I'm not everybody. Mm-hmm. It's the forwards coming back. Tocchet said that Sunday. It's just not the defensemen. It's the forwards helping the D. So it's no question, Donnie, defending. Cut the goals against down. They're going to do that.
So basically you're saying based on one practice,
stop it.
They should start planning
stop
a parade.
No, I saw a bunch of media tweeting, the fast pace, lots of jump. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. So if you're not saying that, then you're saying Bruce Boudreau was doing a good job, right?
Hey, hold it a second. The first thing Alvin or Rutherford said when they got here, Donnie, practices aren't good enough.
Well,
Patrick Helfien.
And that was a year ago, Don.
He and Patrick Helfien, I thought, came across well on Sunday, maybe for the first time. There was a lot of passion there. He, not everybody is comfortable in front of a microphone or a camera, but every time he talks, even going back to when he first joined the organization, he constantly talks about practice and how important
habits.
It is. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but he really puts a lot of emphasis on that. And all the talk around Rick Tocchet is that's one of the things he puts an emphasis on. I mean, which coach doesn't? But some coaches put more emphasis on practice than others. This is clip one, Amy. This is Rick Tocchet yesterday post-practice talking about the importance of practice.
Here in Vancouver, I remember in Arizona, coaching them, we didn't have a lot of practice like the East guys do. So every practice is gold. And you can't just waste practices. That's the big thing I told these guys today. Don't waste a practice. We don't have a lot of them. Make sure that you're dialed in.
Yeah. And you're in minor hockey right now. You were in Squamish last night, the minor hockey dad of the year.
I wasn't alone.
Everybody that went to Squamish, God bless you. That was on a weekday. That's a good
A Monday.
You probably got home 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, but you still showed
up. That's normal.
Yeah. Anyways, how many times have minor hockey coaches told kids, play like you practice. Practice hard. It's the same thing, Donnie.
Well, but especially in the NHL, Rick, because you only have so many practices
during
the course of a regular season.
Yeah.
There's only so much time. You've got a new coaching staff coming in. Obviously, yesterday's practice, in all seriousness,
yeah,
I took some shots.
Absolutely.
Pretty important. But the shots of Gonchar talking with Hughes I found pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And also, Ryan, I can't remember if this was off the air or on the air. I often get confused. At my advanced age, you made a big deal about Adam Foote looking a little wobbly on skates.
That was on the air yesterday.
It was really weak. Okay. Really weak.
He just hopped on the ice, a little speed wobble. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now I remember the conversation, and I pointed out that speaking of minor hockey, there isn't a coach in the world
that hasn't gone down,
that hasn't fallen.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Minor hockey, NHL. Tortorella took a shot a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with Columbus, it happens, but. This was like a half-second wobble. And to your defense, there's a lot of people on social media who made a big deal. It was nothing.
But to my
point, he hasn't been on skates for a long time.
To my point, though, I'm a little surprised that it's not mandatory for them to wear helmets.
I agree. Minor hockey, it is.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. Oh, I've got another take on that sort of thing, safety in the NHL. And it's going to happen. Referees, gloves. Not necessarily hockey gloves, but maybe a Kevlar glove.
Yeah, but then what about the whistle?
What?
Like, wouldn't that be maybe more difficult to blow the whistle?
Well, not hockey gloves.
No, I know that.
You find it hard to blow
How would
a whistle?
That hard be no. hard to blow the whistle?
If you have gloves, yeah, you might fumble it a bit more.
No.
I'm guessing that's why they haven't done it. I guarantee.
Use the mouth to blow the whistle, right?
I understand that, but the
Good Lord.
But this is your worst
take whistle
ever.
Is clipped onto the fingers usually, right?
We're going to do this at another time.
A lot of them have that.
That's I guarantee or, that's why they haven't worn gloves. I noticed yesterday, he had it so the whistle was like wedged into the glove.
Yeah. You can buy those at your local Cyclone Tailors.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Whoever is going to hop on board with us.
Are you concerned about skates with the refs? Is that why you're saying gloves?
What?
Like a cut on the hand?
Yes. Cut your hand.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mark my words. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you unfortunately, know, something bad has to happen. Yeah. But and I'm not the only one who thinks like that.
Well, and I didn't know they've got Kevlar, like, sleeves now because they were making sleeves, a big deal that Evander Kane
the Achilles tendon
wasn't wearing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's like undershirts now too.
I get it.
Yeah.
Cut.
Well, when Kevin Bieksa went through his ordeal, I think he got the back of his calf sliced twice.
Yeah.
Once by Vernon Fiddler here at Rogers Arena.
That's right.
Out came the Kevlar socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's go a step further and help out the referees. I said we were going to do this at a later date, and here I am going on and on about it. Do you want to hear from OEL? Or do you want to talk about Blackhawks here? What do you think?
It's your call.
Okay, let's talk about OEL.
Yeah,
because a lot has been made about the 4 years that Rick Tocchet spent in Arizona, and his veteran leader at the time was Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and the word is that Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Rick Tocchet didn't get along.
Yeah.
Post practice yesterday, Oliver Ekman-Larsson saying, Yeah, that wasn't that wasn't the coach. Yeah, there was some friction there, but there's always friction, or oftentimes friction, between a boss and an employee. But they're just fine.
He's a high energy guy and brings a lot of structure. So it was a good practice today, and it's fun to see him this morning.
There was some suggestion that when things ended for the two of you there, that you weren't necessarily on the best of terms. He said it was overblown. What's your character?
Yeah, I think that was more the media than anything else. We've been having a lot of talks over the years that we were together and on the same team. So he's a great guy. He's a very honest guy. So sometimes it's hard to hear that, but you would rather have it that way. But we're on good terms, and I don't have a problem with him, and I hope it goes that way too.
OEL at practice yesterday. Read into this what you want to, but OEL was with Luke Shen, veteran pairing Hughes with Myers, which I always thought we'd see more of, but they were at practice together. I don't know what to read in the line combinations at practice yesterday, and this is not a shot at anybody, but Jack Stanica was on the first line.
He was on the first line. Can I get back to the defensive bearings? Ethan Bear obviously missed Saturday's game because his dog passed away. Yesterday, he missed practice. We'll find out if he's back today, but I want to see where Ethan Bear, Donnie, is positioned in what pairing he's in if he plays tonight.
Did his wife not give birth as well?
Do we know that?
I
had heard. I think he was waiting. They were.
But as, what we had
there
heard,
hasn't been an announcement yet, so okay. I'm going to say they haven't had the baby yet.
Yeah, okay, but it's close. What we heard on the weekend, what everybody speculated on, was that his dog passed away.
Yeah,
and there were some people who criticized Ethan Bear. Like, come on, it's the National Hockey League. You're a pro.
Yeah.
People lose their animals. Suck it up and play that game. Missed the practice yesterday. A lot. Some people, not everybody, felt it was wrong. Let me just say this.
Yeah,
Ethan Bear, when you see him talk, when you hear him talk, that wonderful after hours he did a few weeks back on Hockey Night in Canada with Scott Oak, just so well-spoken. It just seems like a real solid person. And I'll tell you this right now. You know my dog, Iggy. I'm telling you right now, and I don't even want to think about it, but the day that happens, I'm not here. The day after, it's not going to happen. So if that is indeed the case, Ethan, I'm with you anyway. I know you probably feel the same way.
Well,
family member. And call me soft, that's fine.
Yeah, and you're right. And Donnie, he made the decision early Saturday morning, and I believe the dog passed away, I think, Friday night. I was told Saturday morning that this was happening. So I'm just saying that, look, don't rip a guy when he's going through something like this. I know Twitter's got 5% is just awful. It's just an awful space for a lot of human beings. But it's not the time to rip a guy when he's going through something. That was obviously a tough loss for him, or you wouldn't have called the game.
Well,
right?
There seems to be a lot going on with Ethan. Everything totally understandable off the ice. And I look at his situation. Yeah, I take a couple of days off work as well. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Millions, Donnie.
All
millions.
Of that. They're playing a kid's game. But emotionally, that's a tough go-around. Hey, Bruce Boudreau, remember him?
Oh,
The guy that didn't run a good practice, according to
you? Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, Bruce Boudreau looks like he's going to land on his feet, and this is that's no surprise at all, not necessarily with coaching, but he's got broadcast opportunities, and he's dipped his toe in those waters before.
Yeah, he's not Don Cherry for me, but he is obviously the passion and enthusiasm comes through in interviews and on television. And why wouldn't all these networks reach out to them? And they have, Donnie. He's going to have a lot of options.
Word is that, and Ryan, you can confirm this, he's got opportunities with Hockey Night in Canada. Is that going to be this weekend?
So it's Mike Russo in The Athletic did a very good interview with Bruce.
And Minnesota reporter.
Minnesota reporter. And he said in the piece that Boudreau has an offer for Hockey Night this weekend. He has an offer for TSN's trade deadline coverage.
Yep.
And he has an offer to go back to the NHL Network as well. And the Hockey Night thing, I think, was just an interview for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like to talk about what went on and all that. But I wonder about a future there as well, being part of Sportsnet and Hockey Night for Bruce.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you like the way he breaks things down?
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
He, you know, Rick's right. I mean, he's maybe a different personality than Don Cherry, but he's very, you know,
he's bubbly. He comes across as a
lighthearted and all that.
Fun guy.
Exactly.
A fun guy.
You don't know necessarily how somebody's going to do if they're on a regular basis. He was good on the NHL Network.
He was.
Yeah. Got SiriusXM in the car, and he was really good on that. TV's different. Just in. TV is different than radio.
Yeah.
You've just been made aware of that recently, I think, Ryan. Same with you, Rick. It's different. You don't know. I always thought, you know, Brian Burke would be incredible on television, and I just felt that they didn't let him loose. And I think the other thing that can restrict somebody when they're in the media is if you want to get back into the league as a coach,
you can't rip and tear.
Or an executive, then you can't rip and tear. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but when you rip and tear, it can make for some much more interesting commentary. So if Bruce wants back in the game, maybe he'll be held back a bit by that. We'll see what happens. But as you expect, Bruce Boudreau looks like he's going to land on his feet, and we saw what the game meant to him. Those pitchers on Saturday night. Looks like he's going to stay in the game of hockey.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with another coaching opportunity, whether it be as an NHL head coach, assistant coach. In the meantime, the broadcast opportunity, and let's not forget he owns that. Is it a junior team in Minnesota as well?
Somewhere down. No, I think it's in his hometown of state of Pennsylvania, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But anyways, he could do one thing, Donnie.
I thought it was Minnesota.
He can sit at home and collect checks from the owner of the Canucks for the rest of the year.
You know what I would do?
Sit at home and collect checks.
Yes.
Go ask Travis Green, who's sitting at home collecting checks.
Or Greener.
Greener.
You called him yesterday.
I texted him last night.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And all of us here, we're working on our third or fourth buyouts, so we can relate. All right. The Blue Ox.
Is that a pub or a...
No, it's the name of his team. I think it's Minnesota. Thanks for looking that up, Ryan.
Yeah. No, I think it's in Pennsylvania, East Coast Hockey League.
I'm going Minnesota.
No, I'm going Pennsylvania. It's in his home.
Let's put some money on it. Okay. You got the answer there by any chance?
Yeah.
Mr. Google King?
He's the owner of two, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's right.
The Minnesota Blue Ox.
Minnesota Blue Ox.
And the Hershey Cubs.
Bingo. Oh. Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Both junior teams?
Yeah.
There, I told you. He runs the one
we
in Hershey.
Well, we were both right.
He runs the one in Hershey. His son runs the one in Minnesota.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. Here's the situation with the Blue Ox. Which is a sentence I've never said before in my life, by the way. He wore those shirts. He wore the golf shirts all the time.
Yeah, he did.
With the ox on it.
The Blue Ox sounds like a great name for a pub, though, Donnie. I thought you were talking
about
a pub.
Right.
Blue Ox.
Yeah.
I'd go to a pub if it was called the Blue Ox.
Yeah, I know you would. Ox is an underused animal name for a team.
Yeah.
You want us to get going here?
Yeah.
As we go on and on about ox. DTMZ, Is It Just Me? Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One, CBS Sports. He's going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. They're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the NFL playoffs, just four teams left. Craig Button, TSN scouting director, will join us just after 11 o'clock, followed by Ross, of course, the top prospect CHL game in Langley on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
And a ton of hockey people in town today.
Yeah. Yep. Also, Craig is stationed in Calgary, lives in Calgary, not stationed there. He lives in Calgary, and a big night last night with Johnny Gaudreau returning.
That's right.
To Calgary. They lost to the Flames in overtime to the Blue Jackets. Looked like a great atmosphere there. Big Ride, the Twitter guy, this hour later on. And up next, he covers the Chicago Blackhawks for the Chicago Sun-Times as the Hawks and Canucks. And what an interesting story the Hawks are. Talk about a different approach than the Canucks. Ben Pope, he's going to join us next. Donnie and Dolly, the team. On check.
Donnie and Dolly, the team is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
Okay. All of today's guests on this Tuesday, including Ben Pope, covering the Blackhawks, brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort. Located oceanside in beautiful Parksville, the Bayside Resort, one of Vancouver Island's premier getaway spots, the premier getaway spot. Stay at the Bayside this month. Get 25% off your nightly room rate by mentioning Donnie and Dolly. Book your island getaway at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com or you can call 250-248-8333.
Oh.
Delaney's OK Tire in Langley inbox. Do we have the number? Because we received some complaints here from our podcast listeners.
Well, the number's
right. Delaney's OK Tire in Langley inbox.
604.
You
can text us. Okay. Go ahead.
No, well, okay. 604-200. Just about, as I was about to say it, you took it away.
Yeah.
604-294. Okay. 94-94. Tweet us at Donnie and Dolly. Email the team at checkmedia.ca. Henderson's whistle glove take, according to Safari Steve. Tough, tough look. You're getting ripped for that.
Oh, big time. Big
time. They can't blow a whistle because they have gloves on?
Justifiably so.
Ben Pope doesn't want to hear this stuff. Let's get to him. Blackhawks beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. It's the Hawks' 30th place overall in the National Hockey League, taking on the Canucks tonight at Rogers Arena. Ben, thanks for doing this, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be in Vancouver. Always one of my favorite places to visit.
Nice.
Not the best of weather right now. We'll see what you can we can do for you as the day goes on. Hey, Ben, the Hawks have won. I know they lost to L.A. the other day, but they've won six of their last eight. Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, for the long-term organization goals, I mean, it's objectively not. They were in last place entering this stretch, and that obviously gives them the best chance of a number one pick and a guaranteed top three pick, which is really the number one goal by far for this season from a management perspective. So obviously winning, therefore, hurts that cause. I mean, they're now in third to last. I think they'd moved up to even fourth or fifth to last before their loss on Sunday. So, I mean, that part's not great, but there's still so much time left in the season, and they have shown that they can lose quite a lot. They lost 21 of 23 in a stretch earlier this year, so I wouldn't panic too much on their chances of falling back into last by the end of the season. I think from a short-term perspective, it's nice to see the team winning. I mean, obviously, players and coaches aren't tanking. They're trying their best to improve and to gel and to win every game that they possibly can. And so to see their hard work pay off and at least a little bit of good vibes injected into the room was nice to see. And there's been some bright spots in this stretch. Seth Jones has had probably his best couple weeks as a Hawk, and guys like Sam Lafferty and Jason Dickinson, who you know well, have been playing well. So from an individual standpoint, there have been some positives, even though it's maybe not the best for the long-term organization goals.
And let me just say this, Ben. There's no shortage of people in Vancouver who are envious of what Kyle Davidson is doing, what the Hawks are doing. They like his vision, his focus versus what's happening here in Vancouver. Do you understand his vision and focus?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's done a really good job so far. They had really not had much of a clear plan the past 4 or 5 years under Stan Bowman, kind of pivoting year to year, whether they were rebuilding or trying to go for it or just not a lot of continuity. So to see Davidson pick a path and stick with it completely has been nice to see, even if it's leading to a lot of short-term pain and losses. I think it does make sense in the long run. They've already vastly improved the prospect pool from one of the league's worst to kind of middle of the pack, and they have six top three round picks each of the next 2 years, and they'll probably be accumulating even more with some of the trades likely coming up. So the prospect pool is pretty soon going to be one of the best in the league, you'd like to see, or you'd hope to see. And even on the roster, I think he's done a good job of finding some maybe undervalued guys that have done better with bigger ice time in Chicago, considering how available that's been. And then he might be able to flip them for something better than he paid to get them, or maybe they'll turn out to be kind of complementary pieces in the long run. So I think he's done a great job so far.
Hey, Ben, Chicago is one of the best hockey towns in the USA, pretty intelligent fan base. When you rebuild, tear it down, what has their reaction been, Ben?
Well, I think a lot of fans are on board. I think just that they knew that this had to happen at some point, and it had just been dragged out too long. Certainly the fan interest has been diminished in the short term just because the team has kind of punted this season. There really isn't a whole lot of reason to pay attention. So attendance has been down, not as down as I'd expect, though. I think, I mean, they're still averaging over 16,000. It's not like the building's totally empty. And certainly just in terms of social media interest and TV viewership, those are all down as well. But I think the fan base has proven that it's kind of lasting after the dynasty era. Like, those fans aren't going away. And I think when the team returns to contention, they're not going to have to really, like, rebuild the fan base. I think there'll be plenty of people who are eager to tune back in once this plan is complete.
All right, Ben, the big question, the trade deadline could be fascinating this year. We got some big names in Vancouver, but Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, do you see them getting moved?
Well, I've been disappointing radio hosts and everyone for months with this. I still really don't know, and I don't think anyone knows. I don't think even Kane and Toews themselves know. I talked to Toews for a while in Philadelphia last week about this, and he just doesn't really know what the next few months look like for the team or for him or what next season looks like. There's just a lack of clarity on pretty much all fronts for him that's making it tough for him to decide. And I think it's the same goes with Kane. It sounds like they and their agent Pat Brisson have not yet met with Kyle Davidson, but that's been expected to happen soon for a while now. So I think it probably will happen within the next week or two, and maybe we'll start to get more clarity then. But they really have never been through a situation like this. They've both been with the Blackhawks their entire careers and never really had to even think about the possibility of a trade. So I think they're just not really accustomed to going through this decision-making process and weighing the pros and cons. And I think even with Toews, it also comes down to, I'm not sure he knows if he's going to want to sign another contract next summer or if this might be the end for him. So there's a double level of uncertainty there. And it's still a waiting game, just like it's been ever since really the draft last year when this rebuild went into full-fledged effect. So we'll just have to see what happens in the next month or so.
Ben, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, do they, and there's so much success in the past, of course, the recent past, but do they seem like, and I'm asking for, you know, your feel on this, does it seem like they would be on board with what's happening in Chicago?
I think that they realize that objectively for the organization long-term that this is the right decision. I think they're kind of undecided whether they want to be a part of that, just because it is going to be several more years till they're even thinking about the playoffs again, and they'll be into their late 30s by that point, and who knows what they'll still have left in the tank then. So I think it's really more about that than them disagreeing fundamentally with the plan. I think that's really more what it comes down to.
Ben, thanks so much for this. We really appreciate it. Safe travels.
Yep, I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
You bet. Ben Pope, he covers the Chicago Blackhawks for the Chicago Sun-Times. Speaking of UFAs with the Blackhawks, Max Domi is leading them in scoring. He's bounced around a lot and looks like he's found a home, at least short-term, in Chicago, 32 points in 45 games. Patrick Kane has been bothered by a hip problem.
Yes.
He is second in scoring, 30 points, just 8 goals in 42 games. And all sorts of talk about him going to the Rangers.
And they're getting a lot of calls on Max Domi in Chicago as well. So they could potentially trade their top 3 goal scorers, Donnie.
Yep. Toews would be number 3.
Toews and Kane right
after.
Okay,
so we're going to introduce the poll question next. Yep. It has to do with the Canucks and what we've seen from Rick Tocchet, what we might see tonight. Also, we'll delve into what the Blackhawks are up to in more detail next. Donnie and Dolly, the team, on check. Able Auctions specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ablauctions.ca. Oh, now we're talking.
Oh, Duran Duran.
How big was this album?
Well, this song was really big.
Bet99.net poll question. Every game, Rick, begins at bet99.net.
Oh, you bet it does. And
you have a hard time concentrating right now because there is an 80s hit playing.
Duran Duran, what a great band. Ryan, get the poll question up.
Hungry Like the Wolf, Rio.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
Girls on Film.
Girls on Film. Oh, what a great set. And videos. They had the best videos. Mm. You don't see videos anymore like the 80s videos. They were the best. Ryan, now get her up. The bet99.net poll question.
Some of them weren't great.
Well, Donnie, it was the MTV. That's the era it all started. Videos were huge. Remember CBC video hits every at 5 o'clock?
And who could forget Take on Me, arguably the best video of all time, Dire Straits.
Yeah.
One of my favorite videos, though. Is one of,
Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer.
Oh, Sledgehammer was good. The scene. Sledgehammer was good.
This is a good poll question for one day. Maybe one
It's going to be the slowest day in the history of the world if that's our poll question.
That's fine. We have a lot of those.
Yeah.
One of the best, worst videos of all time from that era, Rick James, Super Freak.
Oh.
One of my favorite songs of all time. The video, debatable. All right? But it's in its own way really, really entertaining.
Let's get to the poll question. Yes. Amy showed it 500 times.
Hold on a sec. Brian Adams' Cuts Like a Knife was a great video. Get the poll question up.
I don't remember
that. Yeah, it was.
It wasn't that good.
See, here we go again. The kid that that was born in the 2000s is telling me about Brian Adams' Cuts Like a Knife. Like, are you kidding me? Anyways, do you believe this Canucks roster can play better defensively with Rick Tocchet's structure?
You almost said Rick James.
Rick Tocchet.
Hey, imagine if Rick James was behind the bench.
Let
now
me read
we're
that
having
again.
Fun.
Do you believe this Canucks roster can play better defensively with Rick James' structure? Just kidding. Yes, 56%. Look at this, almost 2,000 votes.
The players seem to have more energy today. What's going on?
Yeah, let's go. Yesterday, we hit 5,000 on our poll. Great day. Look at this, Donnie. It's already hopping and bopping again.
And a reminder, you could text your comments into the Delaney's OK Tire and Langley inbox by texting 604-200-9494.
I had a problem with this question.
Email the team at checkmedia.ca.
Yeah.
How much do you know about Rick Tocchet's structure? And you guys came up
how much
with
do
this
you
question.
Know?
How much do you know?
That's not the way to start a debate.
Yeah.
I know you are, but what am I?
Exactly.
Do you know enough about Rick Tocchet's structure? Like how much... what plan does he have? What system does he have?
No, but you don't need to know. You don't need to know, in my opinion.
It's about emphasizing it, right?
It's about the fact that everyone, including Rutherford and Alvin, believe that Boudreau was basically the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That this team with defensive structure, they're much better.
It's about holding people accountable, and he talked about that yesterday.
It's structure. It's accountability. It's better practices. Better preparation. Remember, right out of training camp, and Jim said.
So now you're ripping into Boudreau.
Just hold on a second. Right out of training camp, the first shot was fired. The team wasn't ready at camp, Donnie, to come out. That's why he's here.
That's what you're saying, or that's what.
But that's what Rutherford and Alvin said. And the other thing.
I forgot about that. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing. Right out of training camp, the first shot was fired.
No, but not only did he rip the structure, he criticized the training camp as well. I forgot about that. Guy didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
I still feel bad for him. It's time to move on. I get it, Canuck fans and all that, and we'll see what happens with Rick Tocchet. But my Lord, just a lesson on how not to handle things at the top of an organization. And you know where it starts.
Well, there's a video circulating that people wonder if it all goes back to a certain moment from a long time ago and Rutherford getting his revenge on Bruce Boudreau. Yeah. How about that for a segue?
I didn't.
Show
not
that.
Bad. So, hold on a sec. Hold on.
Howie Meeker, turn it back.
Hold on a sec. Amy, you're doing a way better job than Derek.
Derek.
Okay, first of all.
You better be good with this intro now.
No, 1977. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1977, Bruce Boudreau's first NHL goal. What I don't understand about this, he scored it against Jim Rutherford, and everybody's saying, Rutherford holds a grudge to this day. All right? Which is...
It's possible.
Ludicrous.
Who knows?
It's possible.
Just absolutely.
You don't hold grudges?
Unequivocally, 100% ludicrous.
Okay. I'm not so sure about that, but what surprised me yesterday was... See, this is a setup, Ryan. What surprises me yesterday was that people were acting like this is a new thing. This was talked about when Rutherford first got hired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like it blew up yesterday on social media. So let's go back to 1977. This is the way you do it, kids. Let's go back to 1977. Bruce Boudreau, wearing Paul Henderson's old number 19, scoring his first NHL goal against Jim Rutherford and the Detroit Red Wings.
Back to Randy Carlisle again. A pass to Boudreau. Right in that goal.
Now, I don't know how significant that moment was, but I wanted to run that just to hear Bill Hewitt.
Yeah.
Like, B-Mac used to do the impersonation of Bill Hewitt. He just nailed it.
Nailed it.
And it made me laugh every time, made you laugh. Every Saturday night, Maple Leaf Gardens. I'm not old enough to remember the heyday of Foster Hewitt, but his son, Bill Hewitt.
Bill Hewitt.
Every single Saturday.
Yeah.
The dulcet tones of Bill Hewitt. Nobody had a voice like that.
Ian Turnbull, Mike Palmateer. That was it for Maple Leaf Gardens. I love watching games at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Despite the fact it was the Leafs shoved down our throat.
At that time.
Much like today. Yeah.
At that time, we didn't have a hatred for the Leafs because you're a kid. You don't
well, actually,
know.
I actually had a period
you had
of time.
You had a hatred for the Leafs?
I actually had a period of time where the Leafs are my favorite team. Yeah. Because my favorite player. Ryan, you don't know. You weren't around. My favorite player, exactly. The big M, Frank Mihaljevic, greatest NHL player of all time, number 27 in your lucky number program, played for the Leafs. And you saw them all the time, right? So I liked the guy. They moved on to Detroit and Montreal. I liked him better then. But there was a time when I was a fan of the Leafs.
And Daryl Sittler, like Lanny McDonald, it was a good time, Ryan. You just don't get it.
At the time, I wasn't, I wasn't experienced enough to know that it was ridiculous. There was only so many teams back then, but it was just so ridiculous how they got shoved down our throat every Saturday, and then it continues today, and with 32 teams.
Yeah, and then on the French channel, which we only had two channels back there, the French channel, we got the Canadian shoved down our throat, and the Toronto, and there wasn't double headers back then.
And then once in a while, this is where it all started, 1970, they'd throw us a crumb.
Yeah.
Every ninth week, it'd be a 5 o'clock start at the Coliseum. The Canucks would be on Hockey Night in Canada, against the California Golden Seals. They just, toss that out there. Let's keep the West Coast people happy.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started for me.
Yeah.
The anti-Leaf rants.
Two channels.
Can we hear Bill Hewitt again? even though I just went on an anti-Leaf rant somewhat.
Yeah, let's hear it again.
This is going to take a lot. Can we hear that? The Bruce Boudreau old air.
Love this.
Crank it up. Oh,
and that jersey, Donnie, the Leafs, that was their best jersey. I love that.
I liked it better when they had the multiple stripes on the socks.
No, I like that jersey. Why am I bragging about the Leafs?
I don't
so
know.
Much,
I have no idea.
Back memories, though.
And the Red Wings unis aren't bad either. They haven't changed much. Let's talk about the Blackhawks for a second. I wanted to do this as a poll question. Which team seems to have the better future, Blackhawks or Canucks? You shot it down and went with the structure question,
Ryan.
But look at this. Like, you can say what you want about the Chicago Blackhawks, and maybe if the Canucks were taking the same approach, you wouldn't show up at Rogers Arena, you wouldn't watch games. But it's hard to deny that at the very least, the Blackhawks have a focus, and that focus is clearly on the future. So they drafted three times, and they got rid of some very productive young players like DeBrincat, Hagel, Doc. Okay?
Doc.
Yes.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah, Kirby Doc.
Okay, I thought you were having a problem there for a second. So the Blackhawks drafted three times in the first round last year, twice in the second round, three times in the third round. They have nine picks total in this coming draft, 2023, including two each in the first three rounds. At least that's what they're scheduled to have. There's a conditional pick there with Tampa Bay in the Hagel deal. Canucks have six picks total in 2023 right now. And what did they pick, six times last year?
Yep.
And just one each in rounds one, two, and three.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me, like, whose future do you think looks better? Rick Tocchet is now in town. Maybe things change for the better. But at least there's a focus
there.
The
plan.
Doing something the Canucks have never done, I like that way better.
Okay,
sorry.
But you always neglect to say one thing. In order to do a rebuild, the owner's got to pass. He's got to get
back. No question.
The owner here refuses to say yes to a rebuild, Donnie. And that's the biggest problem.
And I know that I'm going to get this, or a lot of this, or we're going to get this. Well, you don't know if a rebuild's going to work. Look at Buffalo. Look at Edmonton. Well, then you see a team like Tampa Bay come in.
Arizona.
And they've had, valleys and peaks.
Peaks and valleys.
Same with the Pittsburgh Penguins. No, it doesn't always work, but I just think it's a better way to go, especially given this. The Canucks haven't done it. Well, let's try something. You're telling me what's happened since 2014 is the way to go? like just treading water and picking up guys who are 24, 25 who haven't worked out anywhere else, and now it sounds like they're going to do it again. Well, that's the that works. Come on.
I told you months ago they're not going for Bedard. No one listened to me. They're not. They got to. They think they got to turn it around in 2 to 3 years, Don.
Or even just a higher pick.
Yeah.
Versus, you know,
top five.
Say they improve under Tuck and they, you know, get the 15th pick again.
Absolutely. The Hawks did it right. You know, the GM got the approval from the owner to do it, and he signed off. The owner, and they're going to restock the farm system here in the next 2 years like never before.
In Vancouver?
No, in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, yeah. Yeah, agreed. Okay. You've got some business. A little earlier than normal.
Right now? Pastime Sports, your place for the newest card drops and sports memorabilia from any era. Autographed items, trading cards, and collectible games, all available at one of their four locations, Langley, Metrotown, Tuasa Mills, and Guilford Mall, January 30th. Get her up, Ryan. Look at this. Canucks legend, Trevor Linden, Guilford Mall, 4 to 6, exclusive autograph event. All the details about this event and browse their massive collection at pastimesports.ca. Ryan, get up. What's in front of the laptop?
In front of the laptop today is the 2020-2023 Series 1 Upper Deck NHL hockey cards with Connor McDavid on the box. That's the Gino Ojic signed puck to the right of that, or the left of it, depending on how you look at things. And Doug Wilson is the Blackhawks hockey card for today.
Hardest shot in the league. When he was at Chicago Stadium, Donnie, I know I was just bragging about Maple Leaf Gardens. Second best was Chicago Stadium for me. And him and his slap shot, Doug Wilson, it was so good.
Longtime GM of the San Jose Sharks. We wish the best for Doug Wilson. I remember watching him with the Ottawa 67s in the day. I believe he was with the 67s when they came to Vancouver to play the New West Bruins.
Punch.
At the Memorial Cup in 77 against the Coliseum.
Yeah, that's
underrated
right.
player in NHL history, not just Blackhawks
big
history.
Time.
Big Ride, the Twitter guy next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check. Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love.
Oh.
Getting a lot of love at the Delaney's OK Tire and Langley inbox in terms of great videos of the 80s
video.
Or bad videos of the 80s. One day when there's nothing going on, we'll rank old 80s videos.
Van Halen, Jump, it has to be up there.
In terms of bad or good?
Good. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. It's kind
David
of
Lee Roth was huge in
cheesy.
The 80s.
I know, and he's just jumping around.
Yeah.
Look at the California Girls. David Lee Roth was huge. Yeah.
The California Girls David Lee Roth video.
Good.
What you'd expect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and ZZ Top Legs. Number one.
With the spinning guitars?
No. And when they were in the shoe store there, everyone was getting out of the limo. It was good.
I don't remember that.
He's probably got it wrong.
No. Hey.
I think he's got it right.
Limo, shoe store. It was good video.
Big Rye.
All right.
You can't talk
about
this.
You can't talk about videos.
No, I'm trying to remember. Like, no, there's no, I don't know any videos.
It was such a big deal. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you do know videos.
No, but like, I'm trying to think.
Not those kind.
Like, early 2000s when I'm really getting into music of like artists.
Early,
but that's when that's when the video started dying out.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was like if you had a hit or what you thought was going to be a hit, it was mandatory.
Yeah.
You had to have a video.
Yeah. Anyway.
Some were better than others.
Moving on here. First of all, I need to offer an apology, okay? Because I've caused up quite the storm.
About the gloves?
No. Although, hey.
Oh, Thriller. Michael Jackson.
UBC Dill Pickle in the inbox. I did. UBC Dill Pickle in the Delaney's Hook Attire in the inbox. He backs me up by saying it would be tougher to drop the puck if you were wearing gloves. Ha! Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, no, it would be awkward. You wouldn't have the same feel.
I'm not talking about big, bulky gloves.
It still might hamper the dropping of the puck.
So you're saying if I put a glove on you right now, like just say like a glove you could get for work at Home Depot or something, that you'd have a hard time dropping the
puck? Not perfectly. Not perfectly.
We'll do a test one day.
But anyway,
the same day we do a poll on videos.
There's
a show to look forward to.
I need to offer an apology because I caused up a storm with a video from Rick yesterday. This is what I tweeted, okay, on the Donnie and Dolly account.
This guy's unbelievable.
Okay. So this
trouble.
Is what I said.
Always gets
this is
trouble.
What I tweeted. Earlier, Rick gave an update on Bo Horvat, a possible trade destination.
The guys at
for
hockey
him.
Last night, minor hockey, were ripping into you too.
Yeah, for him.
They should.
And Thatcher Demko.
Yeah.
And it makes it sound like I'm talking about trade spots for Demko and Horvat.
Yeah, it does.
I meant to say it was also included in this video was an injury update on Horvat.
Yeah.
So I apologize because I messed it up.
So I got a ton of agents calling me last night because of this. You know, is Demko being moved? I go, no, where are you getting that? Your tweet.
Yeah. So, hey, bottom line is it got 70,000 views, I think partially because of my mistake.
Yeah.
But
your mistake.
I do apologize because I think I set off a firestorm with Canucks Nation, so I do apologize for that.
Your use of the English language, for people who don't know, like every day Rick and I have to teach this guy a thing or two.
Horrible.
Which is bad because my dad spent his entire life in education.
And Mr. and Mrs. Henderson are wonderful, smart people. Yeah. I don't know what happened with
you. Do you remember them at all?
Or falling onto them?
Yeah. Miss Henderson is a lovely lady.
Okay, we need to get to this because we didn't get to it yesterday on the show, okay?
Oh, gosh. Oh. Okay.
People have probably seen it by now, but we got to play it anyway. Fox 5 in D.C. had a news report on, it would have been Sunday night, okay, in Washington, D.C., Fox 5 news channel. They were updating what happened with former Capitals head coach, of course, Bruce Boudreau. It didn't go smoothly. Here's the first report in their newscast.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. The team announced the change Sunday, less than a week after president of hockey operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
So, okay.
Wow.
So that was the first report in the cast. It was followed up again. The anchor did it for a second time. Have a listen.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. The team announced the change today. Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
So she kind of improved on Boudreau in the second report over the first.
And that was about it.
But the Canucks thing, am I the only, why would you say it that way?
Right.
When it's spelled that way.
My theory is, and my wife has American relatives, and also I think Ian Furness has told us as well. I think they think that's the way we say it.
How?
Well, no, I mean, how? Sometimes people make mistakes.
Hey. But have you ever heard anyone ever say, like...
Only down south. It is something that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You remember we had Adler's agent on?
He Mark said Stowe. It, too.
He said Canucks. Mm. He's an American. And he lives in the U.S. And maybe it's an American thing. I don't know.
But my only thing
Bob
is...
Bob and Doug used to say it that way.
Maybe. I don't know. But, like, there's no... Like... If you look at it, we started this segment about me screwing up the English language. But if you look at Canuck, why would you say it like Canuck?
I know we're going to get into Delaney's OK Tyron Langley inbox.
Hop it.
We're the last people who should talk.
I know.
Broadcasting mistakes.
I know.
I am.
But it's interesting. Somebody must have got to her and told her about Boudreau. But did they forget about the Canucks, or did they think that was right?
Hey, or they said this is good TV.
Where in the U.S. was she?
Washington.
As I said.
Are you paying attention?
No, D.C. or this Washington beside us?
D.C.
Okay, D.C.
Where Boudreau used to coach.
Which is why, honestly, to be honest, that's why I was a bit surprised the mistake was made for Boudreau. Because
some people make mistakes, though.
No, I know.
Might have just started a week ago, Ron.
I know, though. I know all that, and I know not everyone's a sports fan as well. I understand that. But he spent significant time in Washington. Maybe she's new to Washington, too. I don't know.
But doesn't know much about hockey, but here's my thing. Is this what you get these days? Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, people can be out of their element.
No, hold on a second. Broadcasting isn't as good as it used
to be. Okay, I'll agree
with
you
there. They hire people. They want to get a quota. I'm going to sound like an old man here. That's fine. They want to get a quota. They have to have this person. It's not as good as it used to be. Before, you used to get guys who spent time in Fort St. John and Dawson.
We paid our dues. We paid our
and
dues,
you know what,
Ryan.
You know what? We got in trouble at Sports Page one time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it made national headlines, but it was people made a big deal about it without mentioning what we were up to. Paul Carson, the late, great Paul Carson, whom this studio is named after, used to give people a test, like on your sports knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had people say it was unfair. You're working in a sports department. You got to know who the Grey Cup champion is.
Yeah.
You have to know who the head coach of the Leafs is.
Yeah.
And those are the types of questions that were on there. Who won the World Cup? That sort of thing. And this was before political correctness went
you know, full bore. And we got in trouble for it. Oh, you can't do that. It's unfair to some people. Yeah, well, it's unfair to the people who don't know what they're talking about.
But that wouldn't apply here, though, because this is clearly a newscast.
No, no, Donnie's on to something. Ryan, let me tell you something, okay?
You have to be, you have to know a thing or two.
We are coming from an era, Donnie and I, where they cared about quality. And now it's about shoestring budgets. Everybody gets on the air. There's no quality control. It's not about quality. It's about quantity. Donnie and I worked at NW in the sports department when it was number one in the city. McRae, Russell, McConnell, Lee Powell, Brooke Ward. They cared. You had to be good to get on the radio in Vancouver. Not anymore. It's a shoestring budgets.
Yeah.
Here's what it is, and you're on the air. It's totally changed.
Trust me, I'm seeing all that as well in media. This might have been something that wasn't in the person's. If they had,
well, yeah, but they did it to her twice, though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was surprised.
So it's not just her. It's her producer and the people behind the scenes.
I was surprised the second time it wasn't fixed. And a lot of people are bringing up Paroa. I know. I understand that. Okay. I probably can't mention Canucks. I get that. I'm just surprised that they even say it. People in the States say it that way.
Well, I'm not surprised because I've heard it a lot.
Well, I've heard it a lot too, and it still surprises me. That's the case.
Yeah, I'm not that offended.
Maybe Bob and Doug did say it that way. Maybe that's where it all started.
But I'm not really sure. What you want to do is get experience. You know, to increase your knowledge, get a job as a broadcaster, become washed up, and then check on it. So that's the goal, I think, of everybody.
It's the dream. It really is. Coming up next, TSN scouting director Craig Button joins you guys to talk about the Canucks. It's Donnie and Dolly, the team on check.
Able Auctions specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ablauctions.ca.
To Ryan's defense, he was like 22 when he said Paroa on the air.
Yeah, 22.
So there's that. By the way, Ray, Delaney's okay, Tyron Langley inbox. I did work for Mike and Verna up at CJDC in Dawson Creek.
CJDC, that's great.
Dawson Creek insider talk there.
Yeah.
All today's guests are brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort. Book your island getaway today at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com or call 250-248-8333. Okay?
Yeah, it's Chief Swagger ripping me. In the Delaney's OK Town.
Can I share it with class?
About how I couldn't pronounce Philip DiGiuseppe.
Ooh, you did well there. We've all had our problems.
It. You have to work on it. I spent many hours on it.
I had a problem pronouncing the name of a certain NHL team in Southern California one day. Craig Button joining us now, TSN scouting director. Craig, thanks for doing this, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Rick, if you need any help with name pronunciations, phone Gord Miller. We call him the professor of phonetics.
Yeah,
he is, he'll tell you exactly how to pronounce any name from any country. He does the work. Right.
Okay, absolutely, he does all those international.
Craig, that shirt is,
it's on fire.
It's on fire. It's on fire. It's on fire.
It should be in an '80s video. We've been talking a lot about '80s MTV videos.
Craig, if I wore that, I'd get ripped. But you're wearing it. You're a big hockey guy. You're gonna get away with it.
He looks good. Looks good.
Rick, if you wore it, you'd get away with it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
What do you think?
Hey, Rick, just really quickly. It's not the shirt that makes the person. It's the person that makes the shirt, and you would make this shirt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You guys done?
Listen, Donnie, we're just having a little bit of a love in here.
I love Craig. Right. I love Craig. I love Craig.
You both look great. What do you think the Canucks learned from Bruce Boudreau's dismissal and just what's happened over the last year or so?
Well, I mean, I think everything that's been said has been said. And, listening to the players, I listened to your interview yesterday with Yannick Hansen. I thought Yannick was terrific in many regards, talking about the team and talking about the situation. And, it's something that, they're going to, Jim Rutherford namely has to work to ensure that, he shows the side that where he got all the accolades for the positive hirings last year, you know, the really significant hirings and diverse hirings. And, you know, and those were deserved accolades. And I think that that's the way people want to see Jim. And, you know, you look at a career that's been long and very well recognized. But, you know, as I said last week, I mean, this is something, and this is about this particular period of time. It was handled in absolutely poorly. And, you know, building up trust again and building up that credibility that you're going to do the right things, that'll come through the actions. And, you know, that's the work ahead, you know, for not for anybody else, it's for Jim. There's nobody else. It's for Jim.
And he did apologize to his credit on Sunday. Craig, what's your opinion of Rick Tocchet as a head coach?
Well, I you know, every coach comes in with different ideas. I thought Rick, you know, in his interviews yesterday post-practice was interesting. He said, hey, listen, I don't want to throw everything at these players. I want them to reacting. But one of the things that he said he wanted to do was is try to have them in situations where they're practicing some of those competitive battle drills. And that's good. And, you know, when your team is mired in the place that the Vancouver Canucks are at, coaches come in and you can't fix everything at once. So pick one or two things that you think are significant to get the team moving in the right direction to do them. And I think Rick did that. I think that, you know, Rick's going to rely on Mike Yeo and Jason King to give him some insights into, you know, where players have been, where the team has been. And then he's going to come in with his, you know, with his direction about how he wants to see the team play. And, you know, and every coach is going to have a style of play, a personality that he's going to try to instill into the team. And for Rick, that was pace and playing hard and getting on the puck and being competitive. Now, I don't think Rick is just going to force everybody to be like he was, but, you know, there's certain areas of the game that require you to dig in. And I think that's what Rick will ask the players. And I think the players with a new coach behind the bench, you know, want to do everything they can to impress him as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this now before you ask. The fundamental problem for the Vancouver Canucks still exists. And you could put Bowman and Arbor behind the bench, and it wouldn't make a difference. The blue line construction is not good enough. Yannick Hansen talked about it yesterday, and he used the term. Everybody in hockey knows. There's nobody that doesn't know, Rick Tocchet included. So can he get a little bump? Can he get the team playing a little bit different way? He can. But the fundamental problem to make this team much better competitively, you know, with a chance at real success, doesn't exist until the blue line construction, is much better.
Craig, I was talking to Travis Green the other day, and he said to me that Rick Tocchet will teach them how to defend better. You know, people say, well, these guys have been NHL players for so long. But that teaching never stops, does it, Craig? You can teach them to defend better. You agree with that?
Listen, I think you're always learning. I mean, you know, you're adjusting to new players. You're adjusting to, you know, the way different teams play and approach it. But here's where I go. So I've said this about the Vancouver Canucks blue line. I think they've given the best account of themselves. I don't think that there's more for them to give. Like, I don't care how you teach, you know, any number of those defensemen. When they're scaled up and they got to play against Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and Connor McDavid, they have no chance. I don't care how much you teach them how to defend. They have no chance. So, like, teach them how to defend. If you think that they weren't defending right, great. They still have no chance. They're just overwhelmed. They're scaled up too far up the in terms of minutes and the matchups and everything that goes with it. And like I said, I think they've competed. I think they've given everything they possibly can of themselves. But when you're asking players to play outside their abilities and outside their capabilities against players who are much better than them, I know what the result is going to be 90% of the time.
Craig, everybody knows top prospects game. Everybody knows Connor Bedard. But there's one kid that doesn't get talked about is from right here in Chilliwack, Zachary Benson, who plays for the Winnipeg Ice. Can you tell us what you like about him?
I talk about him lots. I talked about him yesterday on Bob McKenzie's midseason prospect
show. There you go.
So, you know, And what I'll talk about with Zach is I'll give you who I think he reminds me of style-wise, and that's Patrick Kane. And you watch him play with the puck. You watch his creativity, his imagination. He's quick in the spots. He's quick out. He's elusive. He's really hard to mark. He's really, really good in that regard. Quick hands, quick feet, quick mind. And when he has the puck on his stick, he's confident with the puck. He's not looking to get rid of it until the play is ready to be made. He doesn't hold on to it too long. He gives it up, gets it back, and then he makes plays. And if you're playing with Zach Benson, be ready to get the puck. Get ready to get the puck in a really good spot. And the more you watch Zach, and you know I've watched him now for a number of years, all I see is a player that just makes things happen. I think he's got star quality. I think when you look at him, and you see everything he does in the game. Like, I know people talk, oh, yeah, about his size. I see a player where I don't even worry about his size because I think he's got tremendous qualities, and I use the word star qualities in the NHL.
Blackhawks in town to take on the Canucks. Craig, do you like what the Blackhawks are up to, stockpiling all these draft picks, focusing on a rebuild on the future at the expense of the present?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been any disguise to it. Kyle Davidson and the Chicago Blackhawks were very clear what they were going to do and how they were going to go about it. There's still some players that are going to move out, namely number 19 and Patrick Kane, 88. And, you know, Jonathan said the other day, you know, I always thought that maybe I wanted to finish my career as a Blackhawk, but he's come to a reality that maybe that's not the best thing for the Hawks or for him. So, you know, you look at these two players, and I definitely think they can help a contending team. And I'm talking about a Stanley Cup contending team. And so when you look at where they're at, and really good young prospects are going to have more to add to it, no question that they have declared their intentions and what the president is going to look, what the present is going to look like, with an idea that the future can be very prosperous.
Craig, if I'm not mistaken, you're in Calgary. Just your opinion of what seemed to be a real fun night last night at the Saddle Dome. Johnny Gaudreau comes back. He gets cheered. He gets booed. Gets a couple of assists. And the Flames win in overtime.
Yeah, it was an interesting. I'll tell you what. Johnny Gaudreau was fantastic in the game last night, right from the get-go. And, you know, you expect him to be booed when he touched the puck. But, you know, they gave him his rightful standing ovation when they – put up the tribute video. And, you know, Johnny was a terrific Calgary Flame. And last night he nearly was a pain in their backside and, you know, a thorn in their sides because, I mean, he created so many chances. He had a deflection that went off the post late in the third period. It had the penalty shot that he missed, but he was a dangerous player all the way through. What's interesting for me being in the building is that, you know, I wonder what fans were thinking about him still wearing 13 for the Calgary Flames. I got to think that maybe they'd have a little bit better scoring success on their side if he was still in their lineup.
Yeah. You know what? You talk about the standing ovation for Johnny Gaudreau. People in the studio, there's a standing ovation going on right now for your shirt, Craig. So we expect big things next week. Thanks so much for this, my friend.
Thanks. You guys have a great day.
You bet. Craig Button, always good. TSN scouting director. You mentioned Zach Benson, center for the Winnipeg Ice, one of the leading scorers in the Western Hockey League from Chilliwack. He, in a lot of mock drafts, around 5th, 6th, or 7th, Canucks right now scheduled to pick 6th. Do they need a center iceman in Bo Horvat leagues?
Bingo.
You know, it could be a fit. Craig talking about them needing defensemen. Skill. We know about that. But would they be interested in Zach Benson? We'll find out.
Donnie, this kid had 23 points in 15 playoff games as a 16-year-old last year in Winnipeg. Unbelievable.
The pride of Chilliwack. Meanwhile, Donnie and Dolly presented by Able Auctions Wednesday. Able will sell the contents of a closed banquet hall.
Oh.
The Fraser View?
No, you know? Stop it.
A full commercial kitchen, including walk-in coolers, full front of house with over 300 chairs and AV equipment. Thursday, Able Auctions will sell the contents of a downtown office, including boardroom furniture, private offices, and even a silver jaguar statue.
That's a jaguar?
Well, that's what it says on my script, so I'm going to go with that.
It is slick, slick.
For information on these auctions or to get your business assets sold at auction, go to ableauctions.ca, ableauctions.ca. Four teams left in the National Football League playoffs. We'll talk about that and more with Ross Tucker next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on Check.
Donnie and Dolly. The team is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
That's what I'm talking about. Although we should use another Sam Spence piece just to break it up a bit for Ross. All of today's guests are brought to you by, and that includes Ross Tucker standing by, the Bayside Oceanfront Resort, located Oceanside in beautiful Parksville. The Bayside Resort is one of Vancouver Island's premier getaway spots. Stay at the Bayside this month and get 25%. Is that right?
Oh,
25% off your nightly room rate by mentioning Donnie and Dolly. Book your island getaway at BaysideOceanfrontResort.com or call 250-248-8333. As we bring in from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One and CBS Sports, Ross Tucker, how are you, sir? Thanks for doing this.
I'm doing awesome, but I'd be doing a lot better if we could book this trip you guys have been talking about for years, where I stay at the Bayside Resort. Every day I go to the Waddling Dog and just crush beers in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Ross.
I forget where I get my car at, but we get my car on the way to go to the beach and get my boat and then stay at the Bayside. I'm ready. Yeah. Vancouver, I'm ready. Let's do it. I know you guys have a big budget. Fly me and my family out there. Long weekend at the Bayside. I'll even buy one of your t-shirts and toques to help contribute to the cause.
I'm just impressed. First of all, it's Passant Motors, but I'm impressed that you've worked toques into your vocabulary. Like a couple of months ago, that wasn't going to happen.
You didn't know how to spell toque.
Honorary Canadian.
I know the Canadian lingo, eh? I mean, I know it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, what's it like watching a game on the sidelines in snowy Buffalo? I saw you tweet about that.
A couple of different things about it. First of all, it'd be a lot better if I had brought gloves that are water resistant.
Mm.
I brought gloves that let me be on my phone. You know, like it's the gloves that you can still scroll on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Little side note for everybody out there, little pro tip. If your gloves are soaked, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. Then you can't use your cell phone with them. So my gloves were soaked. Also, I don't think the jacket I wore, that fancy jacket my wife got me, that she thinks it looks cool, it's what everybody wears.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually water repellent either.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of 0-for-2 from a clothing standpoint, but I'm tough. I'm from Pennsylvania. It was amazing. I don't really know, by the way, how those guys throw and catch the ball so well in those conditions. I was surprised more guys didn't slip. There was a decent amount of snow on the ground. It was slick. And then also, like, the flurries were coming down the whole game.
Wow.
I mean, I fought through it on the sideline. You know, at times I was a little bit disturbed, but I was able to fight through it to watch the action.
Mm.
I don't know how those guys throw and catch so well with all those flurries. Like, you think right when they're about to catch it, like a flurry hits him in the eye or something.
Yeah. I'm glad you played in the NFL. I'm glad you feel that way, because I watch and I marvel at it. But, you know, I'm just average Joe guy. Here's somebody who played in the NFL. He can't pick out the proper gloves, but still, that's impressive. And you're impressed by what they do. Hey, was that result, 27-10, Bills losing to the Bengals, was it more about the Bills or was it more about the Bengals?
I honestly think it's more about the Bills. I mean, I give the Bengals a lot of credit, but they didn't look all that great the week before against the Ravens. They had an outstanding game plan. Obviously, they executed it very well. But, guys, what are we doing up in Buffalo?
Oh.
I mean, this is supposed to be the year. It's a home playoff game in the snow, and they got worked. I mean, they got rolled. There's no other way around it. I was stunned by the ease with which the Bengals dominated that game. I don't think anybody was expecting that. The fans were as well. I thought the Bengals had a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I took the Bengals on the Even Money Betting Podcast, getting 5 points. I certainly wasn't expecting them to dominate, to run the ball that well, to win by 17. That was really impressive by the Bengals, but this is a soul-searching offseason now for the Bills. They're like planes, trains, and automobiles. They're going the wrong way. They lose the AFC Championship game. They lose a heartbreaker in the divisional round. Now they kind of get blown out by three scores in the divisional round. The Bills have too much talent to be going the wrong way, guys.
Ross, lots of heat on Dak Prescott in Dallas. If you read the newspapers, he did not outplay Brock Purdy on the weekend. He led the league in picks. How are they going to turn this guy around to get them to the promised land?
So this sounds kind of weird to say.
Yeah,
I thought Dak had a pretty good year. I mean, you know, ever since he came back from his injury, he led the Cowboys were scoring more than anybody else.
Yep.
Cowboys were scoring more points, more touchdowns than anybody else. And I don't know that they're, like, loaded around him, right? I mean, CeeDee Lamb's pretty good. Who are their other receivers that scare you? Pollard's good, but Zeke is not. Even the offensive line, it's not like they have the Eagles' offensive line. So Dak was moving the ball. Dak was making a lot of great throws. I don't have a real good explanation for those interceptions. I really don't. I mean, on some level, I guess the interceptions came with him being as aggressive as he was for them to get those points. But that's obviously will be the focus. He's a good quarterback. They're not getting anybody else. He just needs to be a little bit more careful with the football.
All right, Ross, need your previews of the Final Four, the Bengals and the Chiefs and the 49ers and the Eagles. What are you seeing this weekend?
Well, let's start where I will be, which is on the sideline for Eagles and the Niners.
Yeah.
I'm strongly considering wearing like my bright orange ski jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Because I try to get as much TV time as possible. Mm-hmm. Right? So I usually am on the away team side because that's where the camera is showing, right? The cameras are on the home team side where the booth is. So I usually am on the away team side. And I have no interest whatsoever in getting hurt, even a little bit. So when the action comes near me on the sideline, I go back like 10 yards. I don't need that. I did that for 18 years. Don't need it. But I immediately sprint right back to where the guys went out of bounds to try to get as much TV time as possible. My sister sent me multiple screenshots last week. So I am likely to go with the orange jacket to try to maximize television time.
Nice.
I don't think you asked me about my TV time. I think you asked me about the game, but I just want everybody to know that.
What about your handwear? What about the gloves?
Well, it depends on the weather report. I'll probably bring two gloves in the car because I can just drive to Philly. But I'll bring two gloves in the car. Thank goodness I wore like my duck boots and not like those fancy shoes everybody wears in Buffalo. That would have been a disaster. Now, that would have been bad. And, of course, I posted a picture on social media, and like half the people made fun of my boots.
Yeah.
Like, really? I'm on the sideline for 5 hours in the snow. What do you want me to wear? The stuff that fancy Rick wears? I'm not wearing that stuff.
No.
So anyway, I think they're both going to be really good games. I do. I think the Eagles are just super talented. I mean, guys, basically 18 of their 22 starters are either Pro Bowlers or Pro Bowl alternates. That is nuts.
Yeah.
That's only – like, how do you feel if you're one of the four guys that isn't?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. They're just a really talented team. They looked on Saturday night against the Giants like they looked most of the season. They just looked, I don't want to say unbeatable, but they looked really, really good. They're so talented. They're playing at home. If the Niners can't run the ball, I think they're in trouble. I think the Niners are going to try to run the ball, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have some success with it. That's their recipe to win this game. Keep the ball away from the Eagles' offense, run it. I still like the Eagles in a close one, though.
Well, I don't know if you have any medical report on Patrick Mahomes, but what if the Chiefs have to depend on Chad Henne on the weekend?
Well, first of all, Chad Henne from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania, my hometown.
Wow.
Real quick story on that, okay? Yeah. I used to lift weights with Chad Henne's dad.
Wow.
And when Chad was like in seventh or eighth grade, his dad was like, my son's actually a pretty good linebacker and fullback. And, you know, I think at the time I was a Division I college football player. I wasn't in the NFL yet. But when people tell you about their son, you're kind of like, yeah, I'm sure he's great. Sure. Well, turned out his son was Chad Henne. I mean, he started 4 years at a powerhouse. He started 4 years at a top 10 high school in the state of Pennsylvania, which is almost more impressive than starting every game for 4 years at Michigan and playing 15 years in the NFL. Like, you just you don't start as a ninth grade quarterback at one of these gigantic high schools. And you just don't do that. It's unbelievable. So if he's 2 for 2 guys in the last 3 years in the playoffs. Came in against the Browns, got the job done. Came in against the Jags, 98-yard touchdown drive. It's not going to be him, though. Unless Mahomes tries to move around and aggravates it, it's not going to be Chad. It's going to be Mahomes. I think it's a problem.
Yeah,
I really do. You know, it's not easy in life to go out there and try to be somebody you're not, right? Like, Rick is a hockey insider. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy for him every day to act like he's a talk show host with Donnie. You know, it doesn't come naturally.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're asking Mahomes, who loves to run around and make throws and buy time. He's not really going to be able to do that. And I think the Bengals are going to have an awesome game plan to go ahead and try to take advantage of that. They're not going to give him easy throws early in the down. They're going to make him hold the ball. The more he holds the ball, the more he has to move. I like the Bengals in a close one there. The Bengals coaching staff's awesome. They're a battle to 5 playoff wins the last 2 years, 3 of them on the road. The Bengals are good. Give me the Bengals in a close game. Although everybody's saying Eagles-Bengals now, which makes me a little bit nervous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm nervous.
Okay. There you go. Have they got Gore-Tex down there, down your parts, Gore-Tex?
They do, have Gore-Tex. I wasn't – they acted like the snow was going to be nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like it was like a foot of snow, but if it keeps – it's still wet. Yeah. Snow is wet. Rick, write that down. Snow is still wet. Okay? So I should have had a better jacket and better gloves. That's on me.
Got it.
I pulled a real dolly wall.
No. Mm-hmm. Orange jacket. We'll look for it.
We're looking for that orange jacket.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to see. I want to wear it. My wife thinks it's very unprofessional. But look, TV time's important. You know, my audience demands it.
Yeah. Attention is the new currency, Ross. You can use that. All right. There's nothing wrong. I'm with you. Wear that orange jacket. All right, buddy. Talk to you next week.
All right, see you, dudes.
You bet. Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One, CBS Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Picking the Bengals and the Eagles to meet in the Super Bowl. And you talk about the Bengals, and so many people last weekend talked about the Bills and all their injury issues. Von Miller wasn't there, members of the defensive backfield. The Bengals were missing 3 starters on the offensive line, and he's right. The first 2 drives, they dominated that game. Nobody saw that coming. So, again, Bengals, Eagles, according to Ross Tucker. A break, DTMZ next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check. Hey, everyone, it's Donnie and Dolly, and we're looking to partner with your company.
We have several packages and price points to fit your budget and spread the word about your company on the show, in our podcast, and on social media.
We'd love to get involved with your company. Call 250-880-2282 or email advertise@checkmedia.ca.
It's 11:37 on a Tuesday morning. Donnie and Dolly on Check TV. Now time for DTMZ, brought to you by the world-famous Whistler Golf Club. Go see Big Al out there. Great track.
As Rick just mentioned, DTMZ brought to you by the Arnold Palmer Design Whistler Golf Club, celebrating 40 years of public play in 2023. Book your group of 12 or more now, and the group organizer plays for free. Send us your group... Is that Rick Tuchet? Send us your group details and request at whistlergolf.com/groups. We all make mistakes in broadcasting.
Oh, look at
that. I shouldn't pick on that woman. Okay, the Oscar nominations out today. Oscars go March 12th in Los Angeles. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once led nominations, a total of, and I'm just getting this right now, 11 nominations. This is really well done.
You know, I was ripping into that woman for mispronouncing Canucks and Rick Tocchet. I think I'm right there with her right now. But it led all nominations, all movies with its nominations, the number of which I'm still trying to find right now. 11 nominations. There you go. So 11. Let me go through the 10 movies up for Best Picture. I'll do this quickly. I know we haven't got a lot of time. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I keep seeing that, you know, on my Shaw box, and I haven't jumped in yet. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Because apparently it's the favorite. No. The Banshees of Inisherin. You watch this show long enough, you know how I feel about this show. It's the best movie I've seen this year. No question. You haven't seen it, Ryan.
No, right? I haven't seen it.
There we go. All Quiet on the Western Front. Avatar, The Way of Water. That is, I have no interest in that at all. I didn't see the first one, so it must not be good. The movie that I liked was Elvis. The more I think about it, the more I see it a second time. You know, bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, I get it. I mean, I get why people would like it.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Fablemans, the Spielberg movie, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Blockbuster. Blockbusters don't always get nominated. Triangle of Sadness with Woody Harrelson and Women Talking. Women Talking.
I've seen one of these movies.
And Elvis. That would be?
Elvis.
And?
I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
See, there's no way Top Gun Maverick wins. There's no way.
Well, Blockbusters never win.
It's too popular. It's too mainstream. There's no way it wins.
Yeah, I saw it. It was average.
You're the only one that said that. Everyone I know says it's like an amazing movie.
Yeah, I do agree with you, though. Like, comedies never win.
No.
Rarely.
No,
anyway.
It'll
be Annie some. Hall won back in the day, and I stand to be corrected there. And then you'll never see like a comedic. This is going to be a stretch here.
The Grinch.
Okay. Jim Carrey and The Grinch.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, no, just what he had to deal with and like how he stretched himself, which some people say he overacts. I just thought it was amazing. Anyway, Banshees of Inisherin, the best movie I've seen. That gets my vote.
Whatever's the artsiest, that's the movie that'll win here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The majority of people don't understand will be the movie that wins. Because, you know.
So you're a snob against snobs.
Yes. Because that's what the Oscars are. Mm-hmm. We're going to show you this film released on subtitles.
Yeah. And when they do that, they use that voice.
That is basically the voice.
Yeah. That was an interesting laugh.
Can I have some more Bordeaux?
I did have a...
that's the Oscar crowd. Let's be honest.
Didn't he used to coach the Canucks? Bordeaux.
Thank you. Yeah. You got one fan of that in this studio.
I'm not going to go there out of respect.
Okay.
But I did have an art house
period. Oh, stop it.
The 5th and Burrard Theaters. I saw some great movies there that were you know, underneath the radar. You wouldn't understand.
You're North Burnaby born and bred. What the hell are you watching an art house
movie? My family
movie
has an artistic side. You don't know that.
You are artistic. I will say that.
Yeah.
You're an artistic person, and so I understand that. But you being a snob, please.
Well,
scarf around your neck, those stupid glasses.
Patches on the elbows.
Yeah.
Right?
Pipe.
Yeah. Pipe. Yeah. I still smoke a pipe once in a while hanging out with my bloodhound.
And a dog
and
as well.
And my dog, too. Okay, so as far as Canadians go, best actor, this is the one that I'm going to pick out. There are others.
Mm.
But I'm intrigued by this movie. Brendan Fraser, nominated for Best Actor, The Whale.
Yeah,
that looks really good. Did get nominated for Best Picture, which a lot of people thought it should.
Yeah.
Any response at all?
I have no idea.
Oh, it looks really good. Really good. Heart-wrenching, I would describe it as I put on my scarf and drink my Bordeaux.
Let's move to birthdays. How about
birthdays? Okay, here we go. All birthdays, right. It's January 24th. Yeah. I got that right?
It is.
It's J24, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be June. 8 birthdays. The line is set, and you guys have stunk this week.
Well,
it's only Tuesday, but yesterday you did. Line set at 5 by 4-foot Randy's Exotic Pets, Chili House and Casino in Mount Pearl, Newfoundland. Yes, we'll change our sponsor next week. Here we go.
Okay.
8 birthdays. Good. Edmonton Oil Kings defenseman drafted 4th overall by the Islanders in 2012.
Griffin Reinhardt.
There's no way you're not cheating.
I'm doodling.
Very good. Canadian actor who played Ned Braden in Slapshot also starred in the TV series The Rookies. This is for the old-timers out there. M.O. played alongside or acted alongside Paul Newman.
We'll pass on
Paul
that.
Newman was great.
Yeah, not the answer. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer from New York City. His hits include Cracklin' Rosie, Sweet Caroline,
the
and
overrated
song
Neil Diamond.
Blue. Neil Diamond. He's not overrated. In your opinion.
Yeah.
See?
And it's
now
right.
You're being a snob.
And it's correct.
Neil Diamond is fun, and you might not understand that.
Caroline's a great song.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline.
A correspondent for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart went on to star in The Office and The Hangover Trilogy.
Also,
the remake of Vacation.
Ed Helms.
That, one of the funniest movies of the last 10 years, the remake of Vacation.
Wrong.
Down in the gutter humor, but you know what I like. Late Italian, this is for you. Late Italian soccer star left his Lazio side in 76 to sign with the New York Cosmos.
Giorgio Canella.
Beautiful. Late American singer, songwriter, and musician scored a major hit in 78 with Werewolves of London.
Oh.
WZ.
Yeah, it's Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good late song. Pardon me?
Good song.
Late comedian, actor, and singer, an original SNL cast member, played Bluto in Animal House.
Belushi.
Oh, John Belushi.
Yeah. We're not going to accept just Belushi there.
Yeah, John Belushi.
Jim Belushi
thank
as
you.
Well. Yeah, Canadian yeah. figure skater whose on-ice partner was Victor Kratz in 03.
Soleil.
In 03, well, they became the first North American pair
Elvis.
To win an ice dancing world champion.
Elvis Soleil.
No, yeah.
Well, no, Victor Kratz was, yeah, Victor was Kratz.
I'm
her
getting
partner.
My, figure skaters mixed up, but go ahead.
Yeah.
You, go,
you
Ryan.
Went down the
I know you're a big
You went down the Blades of Glory Avenue there for a second. But Victor Kratz and SLB. Think of a former Islander who wore the number 14. His kid is now on Sportsnet.
Achilles.
No.
Bourne.
Yeah. Shailene Bourne.
Shailene Bourne, yeah. That's
okay,
it.
And then the actor who played Ned Braden in Slapshot, Michael Ondkin. No? Nothing?
No, sorry.
Curly hair? No?
I'm not there.
Yeah.
I think I got that character right.
Quickly, when Giorgio Canella and the New York Cosmos came to Vancouver, Empire Stadium was jam-packed. It was an automatic sellout. Mm. When the Cosmos came, Canella was so good.
Well, they had a few other guys, too.
Yeah, oh, they had always a
Pelé,
rock solid team.
Pelé, Beckenbauer.
Yeah, Beckenbauer was so good.
Yep. Yep. Okay. We good?
Yep.
The late Warren Zevon, and you must be happy here because I'm not going with Neil Diamond.
Thank
We're going
you.
With Warren Zevon. Love this song. Born on this day in 1947, he's going to play us out January 78. And the album Excitable Boy, this is Warren Zevon and the Great Werewolves of London on Check, Excitable Rick, on a BC Tuesday morning. Is it just me? Next, Donnie and Dolly, the team, on Check.
Through the streets of Soho in the rain, he was looking for the place called Lee Ho.
Okay, folks, quickly, we don't have much time for Is It Just Me? Our time management, my time management, awful. Is It Just Me? Brought to you by Quinsam Communications Group and now servicing the West Coast Island communities located in Campbell River. Stay tuned for updates on their new location in Port Alberni. For more info, visit quinsamcommunications.ca. Quinsam Communications Group, connecting people through technology. Again, our apologies. Quick break. We'll be right back. Wrap up the show, poll question, and fit in some Is It Just Me's. Thanks so much for tuning in. Donnie and Dolly, the team on Check. Bet99.net poll question, Rick. Canuck related. Canucks Chicago tonight, Rogers Arena. Right then.
Right now. Ryan, get her up. The Bet99.net poll question. Do you believe this Canucks roster can play better defensively with Rick Tocchet's structure? 55% say yes, it can. Already 2,500 votes.
And, of course, you're going to go on about Rick Tocchet's structure and what exactly it entails on tomorrow's show.
Yeah. It was good first practice.
Business.
That's right. If you missed any of today's show, you can catch full replays of Donnie and Dolly in the Check Plus app or watch your interviews on YouTube. Search for Donnie and Dolly, one of Victoria's historic watering holes, welcomes you to come see why they're the talk of the peninsula. The Dog is the place to be for all NFL action, including a Super Bowl party on February the 12th.
Mm.
Ryan, the way you wrote this, stop it. Countless reasons. Come sit and stay at the Waddling Dog. When you get there, you're going to see Dom, Brandon, and Anita the Ant.
Time for some Is It Just Me's. Is It Just Me? but Ethan Bear endeared himself to many Canuck fans. I would think anyone who cared so deeply towards an animal has got to be a good guy. Good for him for not sucking it up. That's from Jerry in Kamloops. Good on Ethan Bear.
Yeah, good on Ethan Bear, who sat out Saturday's game because his dog had died. Two quick
other things going on.
Yeah, there was other things we found out later. Hey, happy birthday quickly to Ryan Gochi from South Surrey. We went back and forth. It's Gochi. Anyways, good guy, 35.
Tuchet.
No, we talked about how to pronounce his last name. I did my best. Even he said it's tough. Anyways, Mike from White Rock, big shout-out. Currently in Alberta, watching on the Check Plus app, watches us, loves us daily. Good guy.
Love it. Love it. Is it just me? Don and Sycamore's best screw-up of a sports name, WKRP's Les Nessman, totally destroyed the name Chichi Rodriguez. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
Chai-Chai Rodriguez.
Yeah, Chai-Chai.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Great episode. Very good show.
Yeah.
What do you got?
David Lee Roth was the worst singer in rock history. The guy simply cannot sing. David and Coquitlam, I am sorry, David and Coquitlam, you are wrong. David Lee Roth was great. Panama, Jump, California Girls, and when Sammy Hagar took over, Donnie, I stopped.
It wasn't quite the same.
No, it wasn't the same.
They didn't have the same feel.
A lot of people, though, say David Lee Roth live, very, very bad. He's right there with, like, Vince Neil, not good.
Although, on the internet, the David Lee Roth soundboard is arguably the best thing on the internet.
From the Running with the Devil sessions, yeah.
Vanessa in Cloverdale, is it just me? Is it time to start blaming Canuck slump on bad ownership? The team hasn't been good since 2011, has been through countless coaches and management staff, made all sorts of trades, but the one constant is ownership. Time for Aquilini to be out of hockey.
Yeah.
And she thinks the team's going to be sold the next 5 years. A lot of people feel the same way.
We'll
see what happens with Rick Tocchet. Hey, look, everybody wants them. Everybody in Canuck Nation wants this thing to turn around.
Yeah.
They'd love for Rick, myself, Ryan, Vanessa to be wrong.
Yeah, and Donnie, wouldn't it be nice if we had a winning team to cover for the first time in 10 years?
Well, for our show, I don't know. You know, it's funny. I was often told that the best thing for a show like ours is for them to go up and down.
Up and down.
They've just been down lately.
10 years? What do you mean lately?
Yeah, more than lately. What do you got? No?
No, go. I hear the music.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get Rick James on the show one of these days. Do you have that shot of Rick James behind the Canuck bench? We'll show that tomorrow.
Soapy.
A lot of fun. And we thank Soapy for that. We couldn't get it on the air. We'll try again later in the week. On behalf of Ryan, Amy, filling in for Derek. Get well, Derek. And Rick, everybody here at Oh Boy in Check. I'm Don, and you're up to date in the world of sports.
Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Donnie and Dolly for all the latest show content.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.